Watch it. Boys bracing. Here we go. And go hard. And go hard. Very good.
The Paddler's Pod with Sam and Macca.
My name is Sam Jordan. This is Mackenzie Hynard.
G'day, Sam.
And welcome back to the Paddler's Pod. Macca, I am very glad that we are back in our recording studio because, quite frankly, mate, I've got absolutely nothing else going on in my life. So I needed something to look forward to, and talking paddling certainly does the trick.
You're certainly not wrong, although it did take me a little bit to get off the couch watching the Olympics. I'm such a nerd when it comes to the Olympics. I don't know about you. Obviously, you are. Being a sports journo, sports reporter, I just can't get enough of it.
I have been consuming wall-to-wall Olympics. That is all I have been doing. And you know what, Macca? Timing is everything. We're going to be chatting a little bit more about the Olympics later on in the podcast, but let's bring up people up to speed for now. I was being dramatic just a few moments ago to start, but Sydney in Australia is back in lockdown. I think we're going to be back in lockdown for quite some time. It's now 6 weeks and counting since we went in, and we've got at least another 4 weeks to go. So very little happening in my part of the world. Macca, that up on the beautiful Gold Coast, mate, you're a free man.
I am a free man. It's quite nice, Sam. Look, we've had a couple of scares here and there. Obviously, nothing in compared to the rest of the world and what's going on. But like you said, free man, able to get out, able to paddle, got some work on, uni starting back. So it's a little bit busy. But I mean, you've been in lockdown, but you've also been managing to be able to speak to some of Australia's greatest heroes.
Greatest heroes, well, definitely in the case of Karl Stefanovic and Tim Horan in Malcolm Turnbull's. Well, I know that there's a percentage of Australians who would violently disagree. In fact, you know what? There was a few comments on the social media post of people absolutely flogging him. And I hope everyone did enjoy that chat with the former Australian Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull talking about paddling. It was a really unique one, and I actually really enjoyed his insights on paddling, Macca.
Yeah, I was a bit bummed I didn't tune in on the conversation, but some of the things he spoke about and what paddling means to him, it exemplifies what it means to everyone. He just put it in a grand perspective, but it's also weird to know that the ex-Prime Minister of Australia is still an avid paddler in Sydney Harbour. So if you're down there paddling in this quarantine period, you might see him out there.
It has been quite Australian-based, our Paddler's Profile series for now, but that isn't for a lack of trying. There is one South African sporting identity who is just proving himself to be the hardest man in the world to track down, even though I've got his number. But we also have some more international guests that everyone's going to be really enjoying in the not-too-distant future as well. And Macca, I thought I'd better provide a little bit of context on the COVID situation as well for our international listeners. Now, New South Wales today, the state of Sydney, did have its worst ever day on record of coronavirus cases, 220-odd. Now, a lot of people out there are laughing right now overseas, but look, that's the situation we're in Australia, is that because there hasn't really been COVID, they're doing everything they can so that it doesn't exist rather than try and live with it. So it has been lockdown time, Macca. I think I've quit paddling. I've picked it back up and I've quit again a few times throughout this period. This week, I'm back paddling. So, look, it's keeping us busy. We had our first nor'easter blow for quite some time the other morning. So chasing runs was the ultimate escape from just sitting inside all day.
It's been a bit like that, though, hasn't it? The whole east coast of Australia, and I can imagine Perth as well, in winter, just offshore. Offshore winds the whole way. As Mark Anderson's once famously said, when it's west, it's time to rest. And I think we've both been doing that.
And I think we're not the only ones as well. I spoke to Corey Hill the other day on the phone. I said, "You been paddling?" He said, "Nah, I quit again." So look, everyone's doing a bit of feed up time. And now there are also some serious questions being thrown around about the viability of the Doctor this year. Western Australia.
Yes.
God, it's like its own country sometimes. They don't really want to let anyone in. So there's some serious doubts over whether the borders will be reopened for that. So, Mac, for now, mate, we are just rolling with the punches, trying to go with the flow, hey?
Our long-awaited duel just keeps getting extended and further and further away. But that's all right. It gives me time to train, and the anticipation gets even greater.
It'd be a one-way landslide at the moment to you, I think. It was about a 45-minute effort the other day, just chasing a little bit of bump. And Mitchell Trim, who a lot of Australian paddlers know quite well, he put about 6 minutes into me. Him and Luke Morrison both did that. So, mate, maybe I'm coming up off the long run-up. I'll get back out into the swing of things soon. Maka, tell me about your training before we launch into things.
Oh, Sam, look, it's been a bit few and far between. I have great days, great weeks, bad days, bad weeks. I think it's just that emotional roller coaster of what's going to happen, trying to preempt, trying to plan, trying to train. It seems to be that it's all up in the air at the moment, and it's quite frustrating in the sense that, you know, you might train for a race. Like, I feel as if the Gold Coast Classic will go ahead, you know, just on the current state that we're in, and we're starting to look pretty good in terms of COVID cases. You know, maybe people don't get to come from other states, but they still want to be able to put on a race. So, you know, that's great, but, you know, what are your ramp up for one race, and then it's like, oh, we're back to uncertainty. So, look, you know, I'm going to continue to keep paddling. I know we spoke about it when we, a long time ago on the podcast. It makes you feel good. It makes you feel happy, and you're so much more productive when you do exercise, and I think that's what I'm trying to learn to love about it again and again. Sometimes it becomes hard. I think as well, trying to train, sounds stupid, but trying to train or find motivation to train without purpose and find little goals along the way is something that is foreign to me and something I'm trying to do, but it's challenging, I won't lie.
You know what, Macro, I didn't plan on getting serious at the top here, but that's a really good point you raise as well, especially for everyone who is currently listening from lockdown too. Like I said, I've had some weeks where I haven't paddled at all and I felt like shit. You just don't quite feel yourself. You just don't feel as happy.
Yeah, you feel crap.
But in the past 2 weeks, I've been really making the effort to try and at least do something every morning, whether that's paddling or go for a run. And it's incredible how much of a difference it makes, not only to your day, but also just to your mindset and your mental health as well. And that's something that everyone really needs to be putting at the forefront at the moment too, trying to make decisions that make them feel good. We all need some happiness in life, Macca, whether it's racing overseas at pumping gorge conditions, which we'll be chatting about, racing up on the Gold Coast, living the dream, or whether it's just living lockdown in Sydney. We all need to try and find something to make us smile in these pretty tough times. So we hope that everyone out there is looking after themselves no matter where they are in the world and getting out on the water, hey?
Well, maybe this podcast might go a little way in bringing some happiness, bring a couple of laughs to some of the stories we're about to tell.
Wow, that is an optimistic outlook, Macca. I don't know if we can follow through, but we may as well do our very best to find out and start with the power plays.
The Peddler's Pod. Power plays.
This episode brought to you by our longtime and dear supporters of the Paddler, Vicobi. Now, Macca, there actually hasn't been that much going on in the paddling world since the World Championships. It's been a little bit of a quiet time, so we're not going to do 5 power plays today. Let's kick things off at
number 3.
And you know what, Macca, in all truth as well, this isn't necessarily a new power play that's popped up since the last episode either, but I finally got my act together and wrote an article on it for the paddler.news. Way back at the start of the year, Macca, I was having a chat to Tom Ashley, the CEO of Canoe Racing New Zealand, and he was telling me about an idea they had, an introduction to paddling using surf skis. Well, that has now materialized into the Kahawai program, which did have its first ever event in May. Now, basically the idea is to get more young kids, more teenagers, more people into paddling. And it tries to do that in the most simple way possible. So Canoe Racing New Zealand has bought a stack of really stable surf skis. They're actually Nello made, and they've set up what essentially is like a round the cans, round robin style, come and try day, come and have a bit of fun. So the first ever Kahawai Championships were held in Auckland on what was a pretty miserable day back in May, but
didn't look pretty.
No, it didn't. But if you look at that video, you can see just how much fun everyone had out on the water. They've come up with a really enjoyable concept to get people involved, but the genius of it goes far beyond that. By owning the boats, it means that they can transport them around the country and have little pop-up events in different locations, trying to bring in more people through their already existing schools program that they have to try and get people into paddling. And I do want to stress, although we love the surf ski element of it, it's not necessarily a gateway into surf ski. It's just to get people on the water at all. And that's what the beauty of it really is that people can have this introduction in nice, stable boats in a really accommodating, enjoyable environment. And then if they want to try and go into sprint or downriver or marathon or surf ski, they have that option and those basic skills in hand to do so. Macca, it brings more and more people into the sport, and that's what it's about.
I think that's it in a nutshell. It's just, you know, opening up the world to, and it may be surf ski paddling, like you said, it may be slalom, it might be kayaking. There's so many options there, but it's just getting these people in. And you look at the video that's up on the recent The Paddler YouTube channel, and it's incredible. It's really young kids, like way earlier than you and I learnt to paddle, jumping on a surf ski, a stable surf ski, paddling out around a can in a racing environment. Yes, it's not super serious, but you look at some of the caliber of athlete that has basically made this happen. Tennille Hatton, Lisa Carrington there. Like, imagine turning up to paddle, first time ever.
Such a good point.
And you're in the company of the greatest in Lisa Carrington, women's kayaker ever. And Tennille Hatton, the fastest woman to ever paddle 1,000 metres. Like, it's incredible. So good. Credit where credit's due to Tom Ashley for sort of making this happen and, you know, taking a new school approach, not just this, you know, the generic, okay, we'll get some feeder programs and try and get people into certain sports out of other ones. It's just like, come down, give it a try. We want to see you have fun. And, you know, the video, the conditions aren't that nice at all, but there's not one frown on anyone's face in that video.
Macca, that is absolutely the biggest takeaway from it for me. New Zealand deserves a huge congratulations for what they're doing just to bring people to paddling full stop. Like Tom said, he doesn't care if they continue to race competitively. He doesn't care what discipline they go into if they do stick around. He just wants people on the water to share that enjoyment. I know there's a few national organisations that could certainly listen to that one, maybe not too far from us, Macca.
Pretty close by, I think.
Like you said, Macca, having those heroes there on the beach to really motivate and provide support to those kids as well is just another incredible reflection on the people that are involved in canoe racing New Zealand. And it looks like the program is going to expand even further as well. Last weekend, Canoe Racing New Zealand held talks with clubs across the country and basically made a commitment to expand its fleet of boats big time. They're putting out a lot of money into this program, Macca, because they think, and they know, I completely agree with them on this, is that it is the way forward for the sport. Mm. So expect to see plenty more boats popping up across New Zealand, plenty more Kahawai events as well. And here's the beauty of it all. They're not trying to keep it secret to themselves. They're in the process of finishing off basically a do-it-yourself kit so that you can run these kind of events anywhere you want in the world. They don't want to keep it to themselves. They want to spread the word around because they think they're onto a win at Macca, and I think they are.
No, I think you're pretty spot on. I mean, we don't really have anything like this in the paddling realm. Say for Australia, for instance, all the football clubs, swimming clubs, anything that just brings people in. There's competitive elements to it, and sure, there's going to be people that come out. And that's another byproduct of what's happening is, without a doubt, some incredible paddlers are going to come out of a program like this, mainly because they've been introduced to it at such a young age. And it is fun. That's how you hook people into something. They don't just all of a sudden have a burning desire to be the best at something they do. It's like, oh, that was awesome. Oh, where do we go from here? Oh, you mean I can race? And you look, use yourself and I for an example. Someone goes, oh, we'll pay you to go overseas and do it. Oh, how good's that?
Thanks for coming.
It's just a natural, flow-on effect. And I think by having these introductory programs, I guess you would call it, it gives everyone something that maybe they don't really or didn't really know they wanted, or it allows them to pursue something they didn't know exists. So we've raced races like this. It's a big part of European paddling. They try and do what they call a fun little around the cans, and they have similar, if not the same, skis the day after a major event. The Nello Summer Challenge is a key example for this. And everyone wants to put their foot on the line. Yeah, it's the next morning. Maybe we're a little dusty after the big night after celebrating. But, you know, it's so much fun, and it probably draws just a bigger crowd, if not bigger.
A little dusty. If I recall correctly, Macca, you did win the one at the Nello Summer Challenge in 2019 and then spewed your guts up afterwards. But look, Canoe Racing New Zealand is definitely on to a winner. Look, if you want to learn more about the Kahawai Initiative, head to their website. You'll be able to find all the information there, and there is plenty more to come as well.
Number two.
Macca, what may well be the greatest surf ski race in the world has been run and won in 2021. However, no internationals were there. Mac, how did you feel watching the Gorge go ahead in incredible downwind conditions?
It does pain me a little bit. I've been there for every race since its inception. It started out as a relay race that was basically a little longer than the Gorge course, and you were in a team, and there was two people, and you would do there was four legs, and you would do two legs each. That was the year before I went, and then I went for the first one. So I guess to miss out on a Gorge Championships, it's always so much fun. They do such a good job there. Carter Johnson and his crew, they've been sort of nailing in and honing in on making it the greatest paddling festival the world has ever seen. And unfortunately, only America got to witness that this year, but it still looked like they had an awesome time. Obviously, they're down on some numbers, but they certainly didn't miss on the conditions. Spoke to Austin Kiefer after, and he was speaking about how good the start was and how quick he thought he was going to go. Unfortunately, it's a bit like that in the Gorge for anyone that's been. They'd know when you're paddling downwind there, if the direction of the wind's off by, you know, 2 to 5 degrees, it makes a huge difference running down that gully and in that gorge. Whereas, you know, if you're paddling out in the ocean, you wouldn't notice so much between a 10 and 15. It's like paddling in a northerly or a nor'easter, but it's so much different in the gorge. And they obviously got pumping conditions, so I'm jealous.
Mac, they didn't just get pumping conditions. You think about how long Austin Kiefer has paddled that course. He even lived there for an extended period of time.
Six months.
No doubt every day he was paddling it, and he said that first 5Ks is as good as he has ever seen it. So that's when you know that it was going to be sensational conditions. Look, we speak about numbers. They still had a few hundred people there and had the most incredible time by the looks of it as well. And they have two very, very worthy champions. Macca Arna Swedish, after having her incredible paddle in Lanzarote, has gone back to the US and claimed her first ever Gorge win. And you gave a little bit of a spoiler there as to who has won the men's. But after being completely off the grid for the last year, no one could even track the man down. Austin Kiefer has come back and stormed to his first title, a 6-minute win in line honours. Mac, we love doing this as well. We absolutely must celebrate and congratulate Arna as well. She was the fourth surf ski across the line overall. She's getting closer and closer.
I love it.
Austin said that he's given it 2 more years, and he thinks that Arna will have caught him by then. And you know what? The way she's paddling, I don't think he's wrong either. Macca, look, we've spoken about Austin and Arna both a lot on this podcast. Two incredible people, not just incredible paddlers. They are two of the most lovely, kind people that you will meet in surf ski paddling. And winning at the Gorge is something they have dreamed of. Arna, of course, coming third when she was just 16 years old, and it was only ever going to be a matter of time until she won her first race. Austin, he's been on the podium so many times as well, battling Kenny throughout his run of 3 straight wins, but they both said, as ecstatic as they were, they just wish that the rest of the world was there with them.
Also for the event, like, they've been, I know Austin especially, but Arna as well, they've been such a big part of making that event and promoting it and always showing interest and always being there. It might be for the Vortex paddle series they do, but they've invested the time not only to go out and win, but they've also invested the time in making the event what it is and in amongst their peers and their paddlers. So I guess for them, it's also a sense of frustration that it was such a good year. They got pumping wind because we've been there before and it has been dead flat and about 40 degrees. So to get it really good and no one be there, obviously they're a bit heartbroken because when you race, you want to race the best and you want to prove yourself. But at the same point, they want the event to grow. And that was sort of the natural trajectory of where it was heading. In previous, it was, you know, the highest mass petition paddling event the world has ever seen. So, I mean, hopefully, fingers crossed, it can get back to that. But they're so deserving of the results they got. And it's not like they paddled slow. They certainly would have been there at the front, if not solidified their win, even if anyone else was there.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Bit of context on Austin. He started a new job. He's had his head down working super hard. And he said that he went to one of the Vortex, one of the local series races a few months ago. And he had a race there and went, nah, that's it. I'm back. I'm going to get fit for the Gorge. And he had a really big block of training to get ready for it. And he said that it kind of relit that spark within him again as well. Although he says that he won't ever really be able to travel internationally and race as, you know, internationally as he has maybe in 2019 being the peak of it. But he is committed to continuing to race and also nurture Arne's progression too. He's dreaming of standing on the winner's podium again with Arne next year with a full international field of friends there to cheer them on and try and take them down, mind you, as well. But the thing for me, Macca, one of my big takeaways from it too is just Austin's been such a strong supporter of Arne's paddling.
Yeah, from the get-go.
I think it's a really nice thing that they could actually be up there and be on the podium together as well, having their first wins.
I think it's a special moment. When I travelled to America for the first time, Arne was just a really young girl and we were paddling there in Bellingham. And then Austin obviously went up to coach and has obviously had a huge part in Arne's success and progression. So yeah, it'd be a very special moment for them, a bit of a coach-athlete type partnership, but to get the win amongst both of them, really, really cool.
Fingers crossed, Macca. Hopefully everyone is back at the Gorge in 2022.
Number one.
Well, Macca, a little bit earlier I said that there's been no international racing since the World Championships, but there has been a clash of the titans that does take our number one spot on this episode. Nicky Naughton got the best of Gordon Harbrecht at the 2021 World Championships in Lanzarote. Just a few weeks after that race, the two went head-to-head once again, this time in Gordon's backyard at the Aussie Cup, and Gordon came away with the victory. Macca, a little bit of redemption for the big man over Nicky.
Victorious, he's come out, I'm sure. I'm sure he probably was hoping that that result was reversed a couple of weeks earlier. And we spoke to Gordon on the podcast previously, and he was definitely, you know, quietly confident in his ability, and it certainly showed in the race following on. He's a force to be reckoned with. It was really cool to see, and it's quite a little jewel that they have going on while the rest of us are in lockdown and can't race. These guys are just battling it out.
The Baltic Sea, Macca, a lot of people don't really think of it as a downwind mecca, but even on this day in summer, it wasn't all-time conditions by any means, but some of the splits that Gordon was doing in the Aussie Cup are pretty impressive. Low 320s, all most of them hovering around that 330 mark on what looks to be picturesque conditions. I certainly got a bit of FOMO as I'm sitting here locked up in freezing cold Sydney. But but look, a really good one, Macca. And the reason I love it as well is because it puts that part of the world surf ski scene in the spotlight again. Gordon obviously does so much work to really grow German paddling and to get people from around the world to recognize the rise of surf ski over there. And Nicky got to experience it firsthand. But Nicky's not necessarily a stranger as well, Mac, because of course he holds a German passport. That's how he was able to get to Lanzarote in the first place.
It's quite good of Nick. I spoke to him right after the World Championships. He was obviously, he's a man of few words, and he was quite stoked, but in his own way, let it out. And I was saying, are you going to stay around? He's like, yeah, I'm going to stay in Lanzarote for a bit, and then I'm going to head over and see some of my extended family, which is really cool. And I thought he might have just, you know, thrown the paddle in the bag after winning the world title, obviously going over and doing what he set out to achieve. But it was awesome that he's taken the time out and he's gone and raced and made that event even bigger by having such, you know, another South African obviously holds a German passport, but it just creates that a bigger event. And it's really good for the international, like you said, it's really good for the international stage of surf ski paddling.
Macca, I'm going to pull you up on something you said just a little bit earlier, but before I do that, Norden Sparman came third in that one as well. Norman, a surf lifesaver from Germany, we're seeing him do more and more ocean ski racing. That was a great result for him behind first and second at the World Championships. Now, Macca, you say that Nicky is a man of few words. Are you standing by that?
It was a little segue. I thought I'd let you have this one.
Well, I'll tell you what. I don't know what's gone on since he's won that world title, but we have seen...
It's gone to his head.
A new side to Nicky Naughton, the kindest, most quietly spoken guy that you'll ever meet. He's certainly not one to pump up his achievements, but Nicky, as we have been saying, did go to Germany after that world title win. He actually ran a surf ski clinic there, which I know a lot of people really enjoyed. And among those who were taking part, well, there was a local German television station that was there to do a story on Nicky being in town. Look, the story's in German. I don't understand most of it, but yeah, I've cut together a couple of bits that you will be able to recognize in English. Apologies to our German listeners, but this is Nicky. This is just some of his musings about surf ski paddling.
Yeah, no sharks, that's always nice.
Ja, keine Haie, sehr cool. Yeah, aber die Gewässer sind ja alle miteinander verbunden, wie man weiß, und Haie können schwimmen.
And the sharks can swim, so.
In Südafrika haben wir ganz viele experienced Leute, weil ich komme von, wo ich meistens paddle, ist Fische. Und das sagen ein paar, or that a few say that's sort of the mecca of surf ski paddling. Yeah, the Australians might disagree, but the Australians are wrong.
Gone is the sweet, kind, innocent boy that we once knew in Nicky Notton, and he's been replaced by a steely world champion. Australia, get f***ed. Cop that. You are not the surf ski capital of the world.
Thanks for coming.
That belongs to fish hookers, we've heard. Macca, how good is that from Nicky? That is classic.
It's like, I don't know, it's like fame's gone to his head, or it's almost like some of those reality TV shows and they just gas him up, or they just keep asking for something they want to say until they hear it. And then that's the only thing they plug.
Nix, we're only stirring you, mate. It's we still love you. We know you're having a laugh. For anyone who doesn't know Nicky, he's got a very dry sense of humor. It's absolute classic stuff. How good is that video too? That was funny. Talking about the sharks from South Africa being able to swim all over the world. So I'm sure everyone in the Baltic Sea will be looking that little bit more carefully next time they get out on the water. Macca, some well-deserved coverage for our new world champion.
Certainly a little bit classic, Sam. Good on him. I love how he's just throwing his hat into the ring and throwing us under the bus.
For anyone who would like to see that full video, we'll actually link it inside the post of this podcast episode on the paddler.news. So click the podcast tab when you get to the website and you'll be able to track that one down. Macca, there are our three power plays for this episode.
Short and sweet.
And we'll find out whether Michelle's got the same kind of newfound attitude after her incredible ICF win. Well, Macca, given that I'm currently living in lockdown, I'm already dreaming about what's on the other side once this all comes to an end. And the answer to that, mate, is summer. The warm weather's not too far away. And you know what that means, Macca? We're talking summer downwinders in the Nor'easter, bulk time on the beach. Maybe I'll get a little bit of a tan as well.
Sunshine hours.
Absolutely. Not everyone can live in warmth year-round up on the Gold Coast. But, mate, there is one thing that I will need to sort coming into summer, and that is the right paddling gear. For anyone in the same position as me, there is one place you should go, and that is Vicobi.com. Their UV range is some of the best gear that you'll ever lay your eyes upon, specializing in protecting yourself under the sun.
Certainly not wrong, Sam. I'm looking after my skin, and Vicobi's definitely helping me to do so. So what do you got for me? What's your pick of the bunch?
The range is pretty extensive, Macca. We're talking shirts, we're talking long sleeve UV pants, shorts, hats, you name it. But look, if you're going to put me on the spot and ask for my favorite piece of gear, that is no doubt the long sleeve loose fitting t-shirt. Now, Macca, most of you, and I say you because I know you're one of them who loves to show off your muscles, likes wearing the skin tight rashy, showing off every chiseled curve and bump that you've got. But for me, mate, I like a bit more of a relaxed kind of fit. Macca, it's my favorite bit of gear. I actually packed it in my bag when I went away in 2019 for the whole year. Took it away, perfect white. It came back brown. I was wearing it so much. Thankfully, I've only just a few weeks ago gone up to Vicobi and grabbed myself a new one. Dreaming of that warmer weather, mate. What do you got for me?
Skin tight. I would call it slim fit. You've just gone for the baggy look to hide some of those curves that you're trying to get away with.
Accommodating for all levels of fitness, yeah, Macca. Yeah. That's what it's about.
You are the surf ski socialite. But for me, it's the performance tech tee. It's just a short sleeve, generic top, but it's comfy, rash-free, the whole thing. It's loose, it's light. I love it. I can't get enough.
Yeah, new design too, hey, Macca. A fair bit of thought and planning went into that, and everyone's loving it.
Yeah, Yeah, a few years. I've been in chats with Pat about, you know, making a top like it in the past. You know, obviously paddling in life jackets, so we've got to have something light and breathable underneath, and they've certainly delivered on that front. And I'm loving it, and I'm wearing it all the time.
Mac, the paddler, has long been an aficionado of the paddling bucket hat as well. Vicobi can get you sorted for those. I cannot believe more people don't wear them in summer. They actually are a must-have. I wear it on every single downwind that I do, because you need to look after yourself in the sun. That is what it is all about. Even if you are having a little bit of shirts off time too, mate, you want to protect that face. So get to Vicobi.com, start thinking about your summer dream. For everyone in Europe that isn't in lockdown, well, you can still enjoy yours. Make the most of it while you can before we head back into those colder conditions. Get around the UV range today. Well, the dust has settled on the 2021 ICF Ocean Racing World Championships, but there is still plenty of reason to celebrate for our special guest on this episode of the Paddler's Pod, Michelle Byrne, the new world champion. Welcome to the Paddler's Pod.
Woo, thank you guys so much for having me. Very, very honoured.
Has it sunk in for you yet?
No, I don't think. it just kind of still feels like another race. I think there's just been so much going on that, I didn't really have time to actually focus on too much. So, but I guess that actually makes it better. It's been amazing, but I still see it as another race, and as amazing as it was, and at least the competition was still great, I'd still love to get over to you guys and race in Oz. So I think that's just a little the cherry on the top that I would love to do, but obviously given the times, we have to be grateful with whatever racing we get.
The paddler spoke to you, Michelle, in the wake of your victory, and also beforehand as well, detailing just the extent that you had to go to get over there. What was the trip home like, and how did it feel when you were back home and reunited with your family after what's been a really big commitment?
Yeah, it's of course my family's sacrificed quite a lot. Well, like mostly my husband, obviously, and it's actually been great for the kids to watch. I didn't realize what an impact it had on my kids, and I got back, and apparently my daughter had done her holiday news, and instead of talking about what she had done in the holidays, it was all about how mommy went and won the world championships for paddling.
That's amazing.
So it's kind
That's
of pretty super cool. special. Yeah, like you don't realize what an impact it has on the younger guys and people who are like supporting you. But just to see that, it makes it all worth it. And just leaving them for 10 days to come here and we're in COVID lockdowns and the schools went on holiday early. So it kind of threw my husband Oliver under the bus a bit. And he had to juggle working and kids for 10 days. So I felt a bit bad for that, but it was out of my hands. And as soon as I finished, the first voice notes that I opened on my phone was for my family and my daughter just screaming with excitement, saying, "Mommy, you're the world champion, I'm so proud of you." That was really cool. And then obviously just coming home, the flight's pretty long. It was about a 29-hour trip back home. And just getting to the airport, I've got a 2-year-old son, and he was giving me a bit of a cold shoulder while I was over there. So I didn't expect much loving. So I was a bit nervous, but when I got home at the airport, he ran up to me and gave me the biggest hug. So I was very grateful for that.
That's really special. And like you said, you've sacrificed so much over, it seems like forever. And you take yourself back to 2013 when that world title slipped away from you. What's it mean to be able to come back so many years later? Like, what honestly is, it would be such a long time ago, and it would feel like before kids, pre-everything. Does that add that feeling?
It's just a different road, I guess. There's a lot more focus going on everywhere else in your life. So I think for 2013, I had obviously got into paddling through life saving, and I also did a bit of triathlons, and I did a whole bunch of different sports. So I'd never really focused on one particular sport. So for 2013, that was my goal, and I spent the whole year like just working towards that. I sacrificed a lot then too, and yeah, it, we all know that story, but yeah, so it was something that played on my mind a lot, and kind of like I felt like it was almost unfinished business, but at the same time I didn't want to leave having a family till too late. So yeah, you hear of so many amazing stories of people having kids and coming back stronger, and so yeah, I knew it was something that could be done. And yeah, and I know you can't really do it without support, so thankfully I do have that support structure at home, and all the my family and friends, and obviously sponsors that stuck out through all of it. I had some good years and some bad years, and yeah, so I think yeah, the journey's been pretty cool. But I think it makes it easier when it's a sport like surf ski paddling. Like, I don't know, it's a lifestyle, and sometimes, I mean, when you're out there doing an amazing downwind, you don't feel like you're training. It's just more fun. So I think it does help a lot in that aspect.
Michelle, when we spoke to Hayley Nixon on the podcast a few episodes ago, she spoke really eloquently about how priorities can shift and do shift for individual athletes, not just women, but also men as they get older and have families and that kind of thing. Did you always know that you wanted to come back and race at this standard that you are now? Or were there motivating factors, whether it was to show your kids like you have, or 2013, or any of those things?
Look, I think there's a whole bunch of different things. And I mean, we never know what's going to pan out in 5-8 years time. So, I mean, I had a year in between then and now where I actually didn't paddle at all. I just focused on some triathlons, and I wanted to do a half Ironman, and I loved it. I really do. So, like, it's something I would like to even tap back into probably in the future. But I think it's my love for the ocean and just, yeah, the skill that's involved with having to be an ocean paddler. It's something I just couldn't leave alone. So I just, I mean, yeah, as soon as I was able to get back on the water, it's the first thing I thought of. So I guess it's almost like home to me. I can't stay away from it. So it makes it a lot easier to focus on something. And then I think when you do it a lot and you start putting a couple extra good sessions together, then you start realizing that you're almost back on form again. And I think that's where it just eventually led to, well, flip, why don't I just give it another shot? Yeah, like, I'm going pretty well. Might as well just keep at it. And yeah, so that's kind of what I did.
It's spoken like a Michelle Byrne who's not ready to give up the paddle. Is that right?
Oh, look, I think the thing about paddling is, I mean, look at the Oscar Chalupskis and the Dean Gardners and those guys that... I think it's such a healthy sport to just stay involved in. So, flip, if I can be paddling when I'm 50, 60, then I think that's an amazing thing to do. And it doesn't hurt your body like running and triathlon, like triathletes and things have. But, and yeah, I think it's just key to stay fit and healthy for as long as you can. So it's a really good sport to just stay. I mean, flip, I've got the junior girls that I'm paddling with now. Little Saskia Hockley, who just won the Junior World Championships, and her sister Velma Jean, and there's a couple others that I'm training with here.
Yeah, they did great.
I don't think I'm going to hold them off for too much longer, but yeah, so, but it's been so nice to even work with them and be part of their journey too. So it's yeah, it's an awesome future, I think, for our female paddlers finally.
Well, Michelle, we're struggling to actually hold a race here in Australia at the moment with all the interstate restrictions. But I can imagine for you that getting the opportunity to race against some of the paddlers that are based here in Australia, Danielle McKenzie, who's of course from New Zealand, but Georgia Laird and Jordan Mercer and the rest of the Australian paddlers that are coming through, how much does that kind of motivate you to keep going, to be able to have an opportunity once COVID goes back to somewhat normal, to line up against them?
Oh, that, you know, like, I really, really was hoping to get there at the end of this year, which is clearly not going to happen, I don't think.
Well, I don't think, we're unsure whether we're going to get there this year.
We're unsure.
Yeah, exactly. So I think you guys, we were in your shoes about a year ago, I think, where we weren't allowed to do any of that stuff. But yeah, like, as long as I can try and, I mean, like, I'm enjoying the training and I'm enjoying stringing some good sessions together, and our training group's amazing. So, I mean, yeah, I'm going to give it a shot. And I mean, we don't know how long it's going to be until we actually get to go there. But for sure, I think for me, the next key would be to just just go and race those goals again, and all the new goals that have come up, and clearly doing really, really well. And it's, I think it'll be quite cool to just have a really nice tight race, and just, yeah, like, hopefully I could be in the mix at least with those goals. So yeah, Flip, it's definitely something I'm keen to do and get there. So you guys need to, I think, get your races going again.
Oh no, if it was my decision, we'd be opening the borders already, Michelle. Don't worry about that.
Amen.
Oh man, I wish, hey.
Sam and I spoke at length quite a lot on the podcast about just what paddling sort of means to us. And I guess we haven't really asked any of our guests, because we've just been speaking about it. We're like obviously going in and out of lockdown, and we struggle to find motivation each and every week to continue on. But we do realize that it just makes you feel like a better person. Are you definitely a strong believer in that?
Yeah, look, I know lockdowns, it's definitely tested everything, I think, from family to yeah, training to motivation to knowing what you're doing. I think as athletes as well, you've normally got a focus and a goal, and yeah, it's when everything's so up in the air, and I mean, one minute your kid's at school, then they're not, and then you're working from home, and then you're not even allowed out your house, and so it's it's definitely been one of the toughest times for me, and I'm sure for many people. I'm watching the Olympics, and I'm also just like imagining what these people have been through. So, but yeah, like as you say, I think it gives you time to focus on other things. You know, there's nothing coming up anytime soon that you would otherwise be focusing only on that. Yeah, it gives you time to focus on some maybe your own weaknesses as an athlete, and also yeah, spend the time re-looking at your family life and just enjoying other things that you normally would feel the pressure that you can't. So I think it wasn't all that terrible. For me, I know it was great. I actually got a bit stronger in terms of gym and things that I would normally have neglected a lot. So yeah, it was not all negatives, I think. It does give you time to focus on other stuff.
Michelle, there's one thing I'd really love to get your insights on, and it was something that wasn't lost on me as I was watching the race in Lanzarote, was that although you were back there at the front, you know, so many years after your first ever crack at the World Championships in 2013, you were being pushed all the way by a Spanish paddler in Judith, who's certainly one on the rise, and an American teenager in Anna. The sport has come so far. I can imagine in the time that you started racing, how do you reflect on the growth of women's paddling and the spread as well in having a European and an American right up there with you?
Yeah, I mean, I've been keeping track of what's been going on in paddling, and obviously seeing how skillful Anna Swetish is. So I did know, I didn't assume she would be pretty close, and especially in those conditions. And I think she's very much like me. She's quite enjoys a bump, from what it seems, and she's pretty good with the technical stuff. So yeah, Flip, I didn't actually know where anyone was in the race, but I knew I couldn't let my guard down, because I knew they were definitely close behind me. Also, I think the fact that the guy who was doing the video recording, I think where the second and third goal was, but I think, yeah, because there was...
We saw too much Nicky. Not enough of you there.
Shame, I did speak to him afterwards. Much. He did feel a bit bad. I mean, it's not his fault. He said... Everyone was just watching me the whole time. Shame. But I think, yeah, we were both pretty close in as well, Nicky and I, compared to the rest.
Well, even without a full South African team there, you all certainly swept the results once again. The seven strong team coming away with so many incredible medals and performances. So you should all be really proud of the extent that you went to just to get there.
Yeah, it was tricky. And I mean, we got an email from Canoeing South Africa when we returned, obviously congratulating us. And but also I think the fact that for some reason, the people that were able to go on dual passports, even if the national that would have gone. So it was almost the top of each category that was able to go. So I think that's why we were still lucky enough to be able to get as many medals as we did, which was great.
That's certainly a modest attitude to have. Now, we are going to put you to the test, though. The 2021 World Championships might be over, but the challenges certainly are not. The 10 doubles, which This episode is being brought to you by Vicobi Performance Wear. So, Michelle, we're going to ask you 10 questions, the same 10 questions that we asked to each of our guests, and we want you to fly through them and answer them as fast as you can. Are you ready?
I don't know.
It's more nerve-wracking than World Championships. Let's get into it.
Question number one. What paddle length and angle do you use?
So I use a paddle length of 204 centimetres and at 60 degrees.
Question number two. What is the fastest kilometre you have ever recorded?
315.
Question number three. What's the furthest you've paddled in one session?
Probably be about 45 k's.
Question number four, it's a bit of a controversial one. I'll let you have either option. What's your go-to pre-race pump-up song or pre-race pump-up meal?
Okay. The pre-race pump-up song probably would be, I don't really have such a pump-up song, more like maybe like a Beautiful Day, Michael Bublé, something that just gets me feeling good and happy.
All right, I like it.
I love it.
Question number five, Michelle. Go on. Yeah, Mac has given you two options.
I'm not a very good eater, so before racing, so I try generally have like a breakfast smoothie of some sort.
Tasty. Question number five. What's your favorite race in the world?
Definitely the Mauritius Ocean Classic.
Question number six. What's your ultimate racing war story?
Not so much in the ocean, but in the, we do what's something we call the Fish River Canoe, and it's down an amazing river, with rapids and weirs. And, one year on my birthday, I was paddling, day two, and we shot the weir, and, I remember thinking that I was going to die. So I hit my head on the weir and I was sucked under. And just the thought process going through your mind that you actually, like, it's your birthday and you're literally dying on your birthday. So I think that was, and it actually took probably 30 seconds before I was able to get yanked up by one of the lifeguards on a rope. So it was pretty scary. Our boat stayed under for another couple minutes. That's probably my most scary war story.
Oh my God, that's so much more dramatic than the usual answer, which is like, I did a long race and I blew up halfway through. Michelle. Question number seven. Who is the greatest paddler of all time, male and female?
The greatest paddler of all time. Do I have to choose one?
Let's have one male, one female.
Okay, so I'm going to be biased here just because he's South African. So I would still go with, in ocean paddling, I'll still go with Oscar Chalipski. And in the females, of all time, well, like probably one of my biggest stars or whatever, someone I looked up to when I was paddling and growing up was Nikki Mocker. She was cranking amazing percentages even back then when the depth of ladies paddling wasn't as good as it is now. So for me, I think that's quite phenomenal because you don't have to have as, yeah, so she didn't have to work as, how am I going to say this, she didn't have as much competition to want to push harder, and she still managed to achieve those amazing percentages.
Awesome answers. Yeah, well, now said. You'll have to throw some,
this is ocean paddling, obviously.
You'll have to throw someone under the bus here. Question number eight. Who is the worst trainer you've ever come across?
Trainer? I'm quite lucky. I'm a little bit of a lone ranger when it comes to training. I stick to sessions, but I don't often have a coach per se. So, I don't know if I want to say.
Go for it.
Can we pass?
We can let you off the hook if you insist, but we have pushed our other guests to an answer, so.
Okay. I like to be liked, so I think I'm going to pass.
We'll let that one go for you then. Question number nine. I think this is an obvious one, but what do you rate as your greatest paddling achievement?
Well, actually, I think recently for me, we did there's a race here called the Pirates of Mshlanga Pirates. I got my highest ever percent against like the top guy, which at that, for this was Hank McGregor, which is pretty phenomenal. So, I think I base a lot of my racing and how I've performed on percentages against the top guys, just to gauge internationally as well. And yeah, I managed to get a fifth overall in the overall race. It's a 24-kilometer out and back, and yeah, I managed to get over 91%. So for me, that was stoked with that.
We're up to the last one. Question number 10. Finish this sentence for me. I'm a paddler because.
I'm a paddler because I think it's an amazing lifestyle that you can take with you until you are 60 plus years old. And yeah, what an amazing lifestyle to have.
Perfectly said. Michelle Byrne, the new ICF World Champion. Thank you so much for joining us on the Paddler's Pod.
Thanks, Mish.
No worries. Thank you guys for getting in touch. It's been amazing. And thank you for the support.
Some really nice reflections there, Macca, and some really insightful ones as well as we start to wrap up another episode of the Paddler's Pod. Two things we need to do, Macca. The first is we need to recognize this episode's The Paddler's Plug. If you want to get involved, don't forget to use the hashtag The Paddler's Plug. It's all one word, no apostrophe, on Facebook or Instagram of you out on the water having a good time. And that is exactly what Emmanuel Gassis has done, the.bronzed.aussie on Instagram. He's out there in a double ski with his friends out there having a bit of fun. And that is what it's all about. At the.bronzed.aussie, Macca, that's the Paddler's Plug for this episode.
Go on, one and run quite quickly. We might have to start giving away some prizes for the Paddler's Plug, I think, Sam.
Well, if anyone actually has some prizes to contribute, get around us. I know we've got a few ideas for things in the works, Macca, that we may see eventuate towards the end of the year. But for now, that's actually a good idea. Maybe we'll hit up our valued sponsors of this episode, Vicobi, and see if they're willing to contribute. But Macca, before we do that, the second thing, the final thing we have to do on this episode, I pointed towards it a little bit earlier. I have a big call, and it's Olympic themed, and I want to get your thoughts on this, right?
I love the Olympics.
All sorts of sports added to the agenda in 2021. We've seen 3-on-3 basketball, which doesn't even really look that enjoyable to watch. We've seen the surfing, which was shit conditions, but it was actually the best kind of conditions they possibly could have gotten, given the time of year and the destination that it is. Skateboarding, there's been plenty of people online slamming it because no one actually landed any tricks. So, Macca, why can't we see surf ski paddling? The ICF has the ability to include surf ski paddling in the Olympic program if it so chooses. Mate, enough of the kayaking sprints, enough of the canoe slalom. Let's get surf ski paddling in there. My big call is that in the next 50 years, surf ski paddling will be part of the Olympics.
Now, that's a big call.
I don't want to know whether you potentially agree or disagree with me on that, Macca. I just want to know your thoughts. Do you think that there's a case for it at the Olympics and why?
I think there's a case. However, I don't think it's... Well, we've seen the inception of skateboarding and surfing and rock climbing that you forget to mention. So maybe...
Oh, the scrambling up the same patterned wall as fast as you can. Macca, look, we have actually spoken on previous episodes. This time last year, I was right into rock climbing. I'm still into the idea of it, but, mate, not at the expense of downwind paddling. No. Just stick us on the sailing course.
What do you do? Are we doing loops? Like, that's not pure downwind. Is that what you envision? Do you want it to be pure downwind? Because pure downwind course is going to be hard to do.
Hell, I'll take it. Gee, how many pure downwind races have we gone to and it's been dead flat or a headwind? There can be worse things that will happen than racing on the same course as the sailing, where it's always going to be in a destination where they will get wind because they need wind to be able to compete.
I think as well, we the Mackay Cup back in 2019, one of our world championship selection, the world championship selection race for us, which obviously didn't go ahead, that was a round course. And that was awesome. I loved it. Everyone loved it. It had everything.
I love lapped races. They're really, really exciting. It becomes a lot more tactical. Thing. I think that it adds a really interesting element to racing as well. Mac, look, here's the big thing for me, right? The thing that the Olympics is going to be looking at is participation across the world and the support of the organisation as well. The ICF would be mad not to push an agenda for surf ski paddling because I guess it all kind of works like this. The more people that they have in surf ski paddling, the more countries involved, the more people they'll get to their world championships. And I hate to say it, the more money that they will make and the more power that they will begin to have over the discipline as well. Look, we know the, maybe I'm sounding a little bit fickle, but that's what makes the world go round, power and money, especially when it comes to the International Olympic Committee. God, that's the reason the Olympics are going ahead at all, is because they couldn't afford not for them to go ahead.
Money, money, money. They put too much money in. Look, I've got a big call to go with that. It's Olympic themed, but this may give space for the idea or the sport of surski to get in the Olympics. I don't feel, and I'm going to get roasted for this, but I don't care. If it is not the biggest achievement to win Olympic gold in your participating sport, it shouldn't be there.
You call that big?
Hear, hear, Macca. Goodbye golf. Soccer. Goodbye tennis. Goodbye football. That is absolutely correct. I agree with you on that one, mate. I do like the under 23 format that football uses for the Olympics, and I also like that the women's game gets. You're not into it. Canoe slalom, for example, Macca in 2021 has had the C1 added to the women's event as well, so they get the K1 and the C1. These are events that have actually been taken away from the ICS quota. So we've seen the K4 1000 get dropped from the sprint program this time around. If there's this much opportunity for change, how hard is it to take two races away from the other disciplines and just add in surf ski? Give the people what we want. Give us something to train for. There's been actually a bit of talk of it over the years. I remember in 2013, around that world, around the first ever ICF World Championships, a lot of people were saying that it was going to be a stepping stone for that. And look how many countries were represented in the World Championships this year. And that's in a pandemic world where there's no real funding going towards it as well. So, Mac, look, maybe I'm just dreaming out loud. God, imagine the kind of support and funding that we'd start to see if it became an Olympic sport. They'd be onto it quick, smart. I would love to see that. It would be absolutely huge. But look, I think we actually may have some competition from one of our fiercest rivals, Macca. A lot of talk about stand-up paddleboarding.
I was going to go clubbies. But stand-up paddleboarding, I guess. Mate, everyone's
There's
petitioning.
There's been a lot of talk for stand-up paddleboarding to be included in the Olympics in future. Maybe we'll get Michael Booth back on the podcast and make him choose one or the other, put him on the spot. But Mac, until then, we're into the final days of the Olympics now, mate. Make sure you soak it up and you enjoy it.
I certainly
of course,
will.
The Paralympics, not too far away as well. We cannot wait to see all that. Plenty of inspiration to get out on the water, hey?
I love watching the Olympics, and I've said it time and time again, but I think I've just, and even after recording this podcast, I'm all of a sudden, I want to go paddling and I want to test myself out. And I watch the swimming at the Olympics and I'm like, oh man, I'd love to go. And then I realize I hate swimming, so that would never be the case. But the fire's in the belly.
Well, let's start with this campaign for surf ski coming. Paddling to be included in the future Olympics. It is coming, and hopefully sooner rather than later. Goodbye, everyone. Thanks very much for tuning in.
Thanks, guys. Until next time, enjoy.
The Paddler's Pod with Sam and Macca.